Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 20 of Season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week before he goes to catch a flight to Toronto is Joe Amadei, the CEO of Virgil Films. Welcome back to the show for one more episode, Joe.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again. It's been a blast.
Yeah, really. I've been having a lot of fun talking to you. Even though your trivia knowledge is above par when you're talking about the 70s as opposed to Saving Private Ryan. So there you go.
It's been a good week.
I know it has.
Yeah. It's not over yet, though. You know, nope. My ERA could go down significantly.
Yeah, I don't think it could go down that significantly. because you only have one thing to choose this time, so
that's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, you're right now 8 for 9, so that's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet against you right now.
All right, there you go.
Well, because I know the stats that just give, if even if you miss one, it's not really going to change anything. But are you pitching or catching? Ah, that's the question.
I'm pitching.
Okay. don't people usually have to pitch to you?
Sometimes.
Okay. I thought that's your job, that people pitch to you.
They pitch to me all the time. Well, sometimes I'm pitching to them. Well, they're pitching to me, but then I'm pitching to the, you know, retailers, to the accounts. So we're all pitching. Okay. That's what we're all doing. That's what the whole business is, pitching.
Okay. Why not? All right. So minute 20 begins with Bud clearly being scared and ends when the train comes to a stop. So we ended things yesterday with the four hijackers taking out their guns and basically starting to scare people here. Trying to figure out what's going on.
Trying to be Jesus out of people, yes.
Completely. Yep. Completely.
Yes.
And we get a shot of Bud, who is, you know, sitting on the side watching Brown get ready, and he clearly looks scared as to what's going on right here.
Yep.
And Blue then just takes the opportunity to explain to everybody what's going on, and he does it in a very calm way. He goes, "Your attention, please." And everyone starts looking over at him, and he goes, "Now then, you'll all remain seated. Anybody who tries to rise is going to get shot." And he says it in such a nonchalant way. You know, like he's not really, he doesn't, he's not trying to startle anybody here. He's doing it nice and calmly because he wants to, you know, try to keep things under control. And the response from all the passengers is they just start laughing. You know, they all think that they're on candid camera or something.
Yeah, they all think it's, yeah. Yeah, they're not positive that this is really happening.
That's right. Because, again, the whole premise of somebody, you know, hijacking a train is not something you would think of.
Yes. No. No. Why hijack a subway?
That's right.
You know, so yeah, that's the, so the reaction is like everything else that we've seen in these last minutes is real, yeah. You know?
Exactly. And they give us some nice shots of the various passengers, which is good because they want us to start to slowly get to know who these passengers are. And yeah. I love the way that in the credits, they're all listed just by their, I don't know if occupation is the right term. But they're descriptive. It's descriptive nature. You know, you have the maid, the mother, the homosexual, the secretary, the delivery boy, the salesman, the hooker, the old man, the older son, the Spanish woman, the alcoholic, the pimp, the younger son, the hippie, the wasp. You know, that's the way they just describe all these people.
Yeah.
Which makes it somewhat, some ways, a little difficult to tell who's who. When you're, you know, when you're using IMDb to try and find out, you know, the connection between these who the actor is that's playing each of these people. Because just calling someone the maid, it's not like there's someone walking around in a French
Livery
maid's
outfit.
outfit that, oh, okay, that's the maid,
That's true.
but the secretary. Okay, how do we know there's what the secretary is?
It's very
The
possible
mother.
they just labeled them.
That's right. The
You're a
mother, we know who that
secretary,
is.
you're a pimp, you're this, you're that,
That's right.
for the for only for the sake of the credits, no other reason.
That's right. I mean, the one that I know that I can tell offhand is the mother, the old man, the Spanish woman.
They have lines.
Exactly. And I think that's it. I don't think any of the others we and the obviously, sorry, the hippie that we know who that is because that's the cop.
Cop,
I don't know who the wasp is. Maybe the wasp is the guy sitting on the train right now next to the guy who presumably is the pimp because of the way he's dressed. I don't know. Again, it's something that even with IMDb you can't really tell. But some of them I've been able to identify via pictures, but the picture just shows a group of them and tells me who all the actors are in the picture. So I know, okay, it's narrowing down things a little bit, but not necessarily enough.
Could
But
be.
yeah, I like the reaction from everybody because nobody seems to take this seriously.
No, not yet.
Because they feel no reason to. And then and then Brown walks across the train, and then someone goes, "Hey, there's another one." Then her friend Dursa goes, "Shut up." Which means that they have figured it out.
Yeah, they have now figured it out. They now know there's some danger coming around the next bend.
And then Brown screams, "Shut up!" And that people are
Nervous
starting to take
tension.
notice.
Yeah, some nervous tension beginning.
That's right. And then we have Blue push the driver forward, and he goes and he says to him, "Move up a bit, Mr. Doyle," because he wants him to be within range of everybody else. And he goes, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, you see this gun? It fires 750 rounds of 9 mm ammunition per minute. In other words, if all of you simultaneously were to rush me, not a single one of you would get any closer than you are right now." Now, okay, being a gun owner and knowing things about guns, telling somebody that someone who knows about guns that a gun can shoot 750 rounds a minute, doesn't mean what everyone in this train possibly thinks it means. Because he doesn't have 750 bullets to shoot.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, he's just saying it
Oh, he's saying
to
it to scare them.
scare.
I'm saying he's
He's
saying
saying
it
it
to
to
scare
scare
them,
him.
for sure.
It, I mean, and yeah, there could be a person that or two that's in their mind think that's impossible, but they're not going to think it that instant. That as soon as those words come out of his mouth, their first reaction is going to be utter fear.
Yes.
Then maybe when they sit and figure it out, then it's a different story. But the moment he says that, people listen.
Again,
And that's what he
when you're
wants.
talking to people who
That's what he
don't
wants.
understand the concept, so they're going to believe what you're saying.
They're going to totally believe what you're saying. I mean, at least probably 60% of them aren't gun owners
That's right. I mean, we know
and
that one of
don't
them's a
know.
Vietnam vet because he talks about that later on.
They'll know. They'll know.
We know that one of them is a cop, so the two of them know it, and the cop obviously knows that he has no chance against all four of them, so that's why he's
Exactly.
not going to try anything.
Well, he's not going to
It's
do anything.
possible that the Vietnam vet thinks the same way too, from that perspective. But a machine gun like this probably holds about 30 bullets, maybe a little more, which is clearly enough to potentially kill everybody, but and then taking into consideration that there are four of them. So you multiply that by four. So yeah, they're not quite at 750, but they can definitely do a lot of damage within seconds if needed. And we do know that Mr. Blue is a very talented mercenary, which means that he knows what he's doing.
Oh,
You know,
he's
from that
definitely
perspective.
is. From the moment he's on screen, you kind of know. He's very commanding.
And then one of the boys says to his mother, "Hey, mom, are those real guns?" And she shushes him.
Right.
And then
Perfect.
Mr. Blue looks around at everybody and basically decides to make himself even clearer. He goes, "I do hope I've made myself understood."
Well,
And then
that's, yeah.
the various characters just start babbling. Like we have no idea what they say. One of them's talking in a foreign language, I think Spanish. There's a little bit of commotion here that these people are a little concerned as to what is going to be happening here and stuff like that.
They're very concerned. The guy's got a gun, guns, and all of a sudden, what they thought was the train just broke down or something normal has turned into something abnormal and dangerous at the same time. And now it's, bam, it smacked him in the face that, hey, we're in danger here. Something bad's happening or something, yeah, something's not right here. And then you're also
Now,
wondering, okay, but the guys back in the control center, they still don't know.
that's right.
Back of your head, you're thinking, all right, now the people on the train know, but the people in control, they don't know yet. At least we don't think they know.
Now, what I love here is that the train is slightly moving at this point. It's not moving very fast, but it's moving a little bit. But if you look right before the little boy asks his question about are there real guns, you can see that there's a train that passes by them on the next track. Okay, so you'd think that at some point, if not already, the people in the control center would have called into I don't know what the name of the other train is. They would have said to them, "Okay, you're coming up to the place where Palom 123 is. Can you just tell us what you see? Give us a little bit of a traffic report." With that thing, but they never go there. They don't do that,
But again, it's
which
only
to me
been a
seems
minute
like
or two.
illogical.
It's only been it's your the time is compressed at this point. I mean, we're talking about a minute. And we're talking for 15 minutes, about a minute. So that time, they wouldn't have had the time. They got people in the control booth are still thinking, the train broke down. It's going to get started again because these things do happen in the New York subway system all the time. They're still not thinking, they're about to begin to think, but they're still not thinking that there's foul play involved.
But also you'd think that the driver of the train that passes by them will
He
notice that
might
it's a little fishy
notice something.
that there's one car on its
Yeah.
own, and then further down you have let's say six or seven other cars that are just
Yeah,
sitting
they
there.
never
Again,
go there.
he might not know, he might not have noticed that. That's possible also. But whatever, just food for thought.
Yeah. Yep.
Always important to think about these things. Because that's why we do this.
I think it's the whole point.
And then we get a shot of the train from the outside as the train screeches to a halt, because apparently they're also going to the Toronto Film Festival and
Yeah.
need to make sure that they're able to abandon everything and get there on time.
That's true. You're right.
And that's all I have to talk about in this minute. Did you have anything you wanted to add about this minute or about the movie in general?
I think it's been a great 5 minutes. It's been the real action hasn't even begun yet. It's coming. It's a fun movie. I hope the next hour and a half or hour and 20 minutes goes by as quick as these 5 minutes have gone by. Your viewers are in for a treat.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank
You got it.
you. I do. All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Fun City Friday, where my guests will give their top five movies that have some connection to New York City. Now, did you know that one of the nicknames of New York is Fun City?
No, I did not. I've never heard
Okay.
that before, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, John Lindsay, when he was mayor, coined the name as that's obviously everyone knows about the Big Apple, and
Right.
there's a whole bunch of other nicknames for New York, but I came across the one that said Fun City, and I'm like, hey, that works perfectly here.
Okay.
All right, so why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
I will start with my number five. I mean, these are iconic New York driven films. First, the number five would be Breakfast at Tiffany's. Just very stylish, very a film of its era. Great Mancini score. Audrey's beautiful in every shot. Makes New York look like a dream to a certain extent, even though it really wasn't.
The magic of movies.
The magic of movies. Number four would be a film we already talked about, An Affair to Remember, that is, it's an iconic New York movie, though most of it doesn't even take place in New York. But it's a couple that fall in love on a cruise liner that vow to meet 6 months later at the top of the Empire State Building, the most iconic building in the city, and what happens from that point forward. Number three,
Until Sleepless in Seattle came out.
I won't even
Yeah.
bring Sleepless in Seattle up. Tiffany and Affair, number two, right?
Number three.
Number three, Breakfast at Tiffany's and Affair to Remember. I would go with New York, New York. The matching of Scorsese, Minnelli, and De Niro would never happen right in any other film. But for this one, it works. De Niro learned how to play saxophone, or how to look like he played saxophone, from Clarence Clemons. And it's an
He and I share a
homage.
birthday. No, he and I share a birthday.
And he's on my t-shirt right here, Clarence Clemons.
Uh-huh.
I did not know
Is that
that.
what you put it on there?
Yeah, that's why I put it on, because your birthday. Yeah.
Seriously? Oh, okay. No, I'm saying, did you put it on because you knew that you were going to be talking about New York, New York, and
I did not. I put it on because I produced this movie, and most of my t-shirts this week have something to do with movies that mean something to me.
very good. Oh, very good.
Number two would be, this is really, really tough. Because one's such, they're so different. All right, so number two would be The Warriors, Walter Hill film.
Yeah.
Probably a little dated these days, but when it first came out, it was so freaking cool, of this gang trying to make it back
Across
home
New York.
and going through every single borough and having to fight somebody every borough. It would be The Warriors, and number one has to be, it just has to be Taxi Driver. Someday a rain's going to come and wash the scum off the streets of this city. I'll never forget that line. It's just everything that was wrong in New York City at that time on the screen. And we can go on and on about his performance, about Scorsese's direction, but yeah, that would be my New York movie. Somewhere in there, I probably should have thrown in On the Town, because it's such a completely different, type of film, and it's a salute to New York, filmed in New York, one of the first MGM musicals, if not the first MGM musical filmed on location, with Sinatra and Gene Kelly. But maybe that's number six.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Excellent. All right, thank you very much for that list.
You're
So
welcome.
now we will, for one final time this season for you, we will spin the wheel to find out what remake you need to try and figure
Okay.
out. As we play Name That Remake.
Go for it. Spin that wheel. I'll never get over yesterday's scavenger hunt, by the way. Just let me just bring that up.
I now have something to hold over you. Okay, a kid who is bullied in school tries to find a way to fight back. The original came out in 1984, and the remake came out in 2010.
Karate Kid?
Yes, very good. Very, very impressive, Joe. 9 out of 10. I tip my hat to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. And you know, you just have to go rewatch Scavenger Hunt.
Let's find it first.
It seems like the type of movie that you probably could find on YouTube.
Yeah, it's about the only place you're going to find it these days. So,
yeah, probably.
This is good. This has been a good one. They're all good.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. That's the important thing.
Yeah. You got a long way to go on this one. Hour and what? What's this thing run? An hour and...
So I have another hour and 25... hour and 25 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So again, we have another, there's 105 minutes of this entire movie, so we have 85 minutes to go, which is fine. That's the way all of these movies go.
You know about Shaw's son, what's going on with Shaw's son?
Yes. Robert? I'm it's unfortunate that I don't live in an area which will allow me to see that.
Me too. Same thing. I mean, and I'm here in the States, but he's been out there too, so
he's only doing it in England?
So far, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I enjoy doing this with you.
I enjoy doing it with you. And as I've told you many times, if you're ever in the neighborhood, let me know, and I will make sure you have a good time around here, checking out all the old sites.
Really old sites.
That's right. And maybe we'll bump into Tarantino. Okay.
All right.
So once again, would you like to tell people where they can find Joe Amade?
They can find Joe Amade in Toronto for the next week. But other than that, they can get me at joe@virgilfilmsent.com or just go to my website, virgilfilms.com. You'll learn a lot about our company, but you'll also be able to contact me through there.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rot Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movierotminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movierotminute@movierob.net. So, Joe, thank you very much for joining me this week. Have fun in Toronto.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
You know, always think of me when you're in these places that I will never be. Okay. Unless you send me a ticket. Yeah, that'll be
all right.
All right, I will be back on Monday with a new guest. So everyone have a great weekend. And until then,
Gesundheit.